Ha-ha! I'll say all the things.
Okay.
Friendly reminder that this meeting is being recorded. The recording will be published online and is a public record subject to disclosure. Board members and staff, by continuing to be present in this meeting, you are consenting to being recorded and consenting to this recording being released to public record. We will now take verbal roll call. President Delmore,
Here.
Vice President Simon,
Here.
Secretary Abrahamian, absent. Alder Latimer Burris, absent. Alder Miadze,
Present.
present. Board member Strozier, absent. Board member Callisto,
Present.
chair, the floor is yours.
Okay. I'll call the meeting to order, and our first item of business is approval of the minutes from last month. We have a motion to approve, so, and a
I'll
second,
second.
and without objection, they're approved. Jody, do we have any public comment?
We do not.
Okay, then we will move to disclosures and recusals. Does anyone have anything to note in that area? Seeing none, we'll move to new business. Our first item of new business is the financial statement and auditor's report. And I believe Baker Tilly is prepared to present them.
Yes, thank you very much for having me here tonight. I believe you have a couple different documents in your packet. Should be a set of the financial statements that were provided, and then also a PowerPoint presentation that I'll walk through, and which is one page kind of prep handout. So starting with the PowerPoint presentation, what I really want to touch on here is just highlighting the audit results, the required communication to the governing body as those charged with governance, and then some financial highlights and informational points on future accounting standards. And then answer any questions that you might have. So if we go to the next page, the audit was performed in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards and government auditing standards. And so those are the rules that we have to follow in completing the audit. Ultimately, all of the information in the financial statements comes from your record and management putting that together. And really what we're providing is the audit opinion. So our objective is to obtain enough evidence through our testing process to be able to issue that opinion. And provide reasonable assurance that the financial statements are free from material misstatement. So, what the financial statements received is referred to as an unmodified opinion, often termed a clean opinion. It's the highest level of assurance that we can give and says that these are a fair presentation of the financial results of the position of the utility at year end. So the next page kind of summarizes several of the required communications, and there's actually a very detailed letter of these that's issued to the City Council for the citywide audit. This water utility audit is part of the overall city audit. But ultimately, it talks about our responsibility as auditors. We start by understanding your processes, your controls, your types of transactions and balances in order to design our tests. And that allows us to determine where do we need to focus, how do we want to test different balances in order to obtain enough evidence that we can feel comfortable issuing that audit. As far as the types of tests, that can be anything from confirming bank balances with outside parties to tracing transactions to supporting documentation, walking through processes to see evidence of who does what, doing detailed analytics of say financial sales information to customer data and volume sales, various different things. But ultimately, we receive that amount of evidence. As I said, all of the information in the financial statements comes from management and your records, and really your responsibility is to provide oversight to their processes, that ultimate accountability. As part of this, we do look at the accounting policies that are used in the financial statements. There was no changes in accounting policies this year. There was one new standard that was required to be implemented, and it was implemented prospectively. It didn't have a restatement impact, and that related to the accounting for subscription-based information technology arrangements, or what we often call SABITAs. And really, it was just looking at those when you have a long-term agreement to use someone else's software. It treats it similar to a lease, to put it more on par when you're purchasing the software. We also look at estimates, because all financial statements include estimates, making sure that the methodologies are in line with the standards, the key inputs are reasonable, and things are consistent from year to year, and there were no concerns there. If there were any concerns that came up during the audit related to controls, related to policies, compliance, going concern, any of those kind of things, we'd be required to report that to you. That could say there's nothing there to report. In addition, I want to highlight that there were no adjustments made here. That's a really high bar to set. So that means that all of the information that you're receiving throughout the year is accurate, and there aren't a lot of things that are happening just a year end as part of the audit process. The next page here discusses the highlights, and I'll flip over to that document just a minute because it's not in order here, but also touches on some upcoming accounting standards. So there's four new standards that have been issued that will be effective for 22 of them for 2024, one for 25, and one for 26. And these just relate to some different things. Probably the key one to point out here is SEMA 101, which relates to compensated absences. This took kind of a fresh look at how governments accrue for compensated absences. And so what this will have management do is look at the current policies in light of some of these new definitions and make sure that those are being accrued appropriately. And the hope was from GASB that it would get more consistency across governments as policy changed over time. So I do want to thank management for all of the information that they provide. They answer a lot of questions when we come in. We're asking about things that happened months ago. And so we really do appreciate that. The other item that I have in your packets is just a one-page handout with some financial highlights. So it's got operating results at the top, kind of a graph. And so as we look here at the five-year, we can see a marked increase in both the operating revenues and the operating expenses in 2023. And so I think that was anticipated. The expenses were going to be going up, and then the new rates that were implemented about that first quarter of 2023, and that really then impacted the revenues, allowing that to maintain a very positive margin for the year. As a result of that, we'll look at a couple of key benchmarks down below that we look at for all utilities. The first is unrestricted reserves on hand. And the Government Finance Officers Association would say that you should really have a minimum of one billing cycle plus some capital reserves on hand. I think rating agencies tend to look for something a little higher than that, probably up to 6 months of cash reserves on hand, 3 to 6 months. And so when we look at your balance at the end of 2023, it's just over 6 months worth of cash, and it's been steadily growing over the last 5 years. So that's really positive to come out of that bare minimum to that stable mark. The next item we look at is the debt coverage. So when you issued revenue debt, there's that coverage requirement, making sure that your earnings are providing for operating costs plus the debt service and that little cushion. Your requirement is 1.25, and you are at 2.6 times. So very sufficient there, and again, has been increasing. And then the last benchmark that we look at is, out of all the capital assets, how much is funded through equity versus outstanding debt. You're at just over 50% outstanding debt. We kind of say rule of thumb for utilities is 50-50, but understanding that every utility is in a different place in their life cycle. And I know that your utility has been doing a lot recent years. There's been a lot of aging infrastructure that needs to be replaced. So that doesn't surprise me that it's a little bit above that. I can see utilities much higher in the debt to, say, replace significant reinvestment or something like that. Typically, we do see that as a cycle that'll go up and then come back down. Not a concern knowing that there's been a lot of capital. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions on any of the documents that were provided.
Question. Do you work with utility on the rate case too?
I do not.
Is that a different partnership? You know, if your staff works with utility, I guess it's a better question.
I've been since I don't think we've helped specifically on rate cases in the past.
Thank you. Would that be a conflict?
No, it's just something that some utilities have staff in-house to do or use different consultants for. We do have some clients that we help with it.
But you could do that function. Mm-hmm. And do the orders.
Questions or comments?
Well, looking at the investment capital, last year the debt portion was 55, and so it has dropped.
Okay.
So is that something maybe January notes that we'd expect it to change again, just based on the fact that we're not doing as much borrowing?
Yeah, it should be. I mean, we did expect it to drop now. And then no anticipate huge borrowing, I think, but keep the, at least around that 52.5 to keep the cycle.
Other questions? Well, thank you, Toby.
Thank you.
I get the report reflects we've seen on every quarter. Let's see, do we need a motion to approve? Should we? Okay, a motion to accept them. And without objection, we send the report. Let's go on to the next item, amendment to the 2024 capital budget to change funding sources for certain projects. Joe?
It looks like January.
So with this, we are actually requesting to basically switch our funding sources. In our 2023 adopted capital budget, we had submitted a request that we were going to fund the well 19 with revenue bond. So now that the project has started, we are requesting to switch that from revenue bond to non-general GO bond. And so that would be an amount of $7.328 million. In turn, in our 24 capital budget, we had actually proposed to fund some of our capital projects with this non-GFO GO borrowing. And so we're going to be using our actual reserve funds. So not borrowing, but reserve funds for the 2024 capital budget. So it is switching the funding sources.
Okay. Discussion? That's
question. Okay. I assume we're saving money off this, but not issuing additional debt.
Yes, because the 19 was slated to be borrowed or funded with borrowing, and so we're doing that, but then in 24, we're not going to be borrowing for it. So we proceed.
Wait, towards a cash basis. Other comments, questions? Do we have a motion to approve this request? So, okay,
I'll
say. Second. Any objection, please note it. Hearing none, it is on to the next item. Administering the issuance of an establishment of parameters for the sale of general obligation promissory notes. Okay, what is this?
So basically, this ties back with that first item I talked about. We are joining in with the city to take out this non-GFO-GO borrowing. And so this is going to add to the city's total debt issuance. So this resolution that you see attached to this item notates what the city is going to be borrowing, and then in the blurb somewhere, we are part of that total amount that they're borrowing with the 7.328. So it looks like they're borrowing about 108 million. And so, yeah, part of that is the 7.328.
Is the rationale we would get a better rate by going with the city borrowing plan?
Yes. And also, there's always, of course, costs with borrowing. And so that would allocate less of it to us.
Questions or comments? A motion to approve this request. So, do we have a second?
A second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. And the next item relates to approval of the manager's authority to accept the water utility certification services bills. I think this is really a motion to approve.
I move approval.
Second. And all in favor? Next, temporary change to the water utility board meeting format. Moving towards virtual because of the work that's going to be done on this report for the next 4 months. And I think if we move the site, it would have quite a bit of an impact on staff that typically attends the meeting. So I think that the rationale is pretty solid. Do we have a motion to approve it to go to virtual meetings for 4 months?
I just ask what the format is, the Teams format?
It would be the format similar to what occurred during COVID.
Well, it's been Zoom.
Almost it's the Zoom. Zoom.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to reflect that. I hate Zoom.
I don't think I've had a reaction. I've heard of people use it, but I don't think it's a city though.
Really hate Zoom.
Let the record reflect.
Yeah.
I think that the city uses Teams internally, but for public meetings, Zoom seems to be the interface that they have us doing.
Maybe it's more available.
For recording and other things that IT does with it after, maybe. But that seems to be how they force the public hybrid meetings.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. In a second.
Sure.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And we're moving more rapidly than usual in that Eric is going to step out at about 5 o'clock for conference call. And so we'll try to proceed through some of the reports. And first, water production monthly report, Joe.
I'll make it short. For the month of June, pumped on average about 25.3 million gallons per day. And that's about a million gallons off a day. And in terms of surplus, and that left us with a surplus of 14 million gallons a day, obviously down 1 million. Right. So anyways, not a huge amount of water. We did not pump a huge amount of water. In terms of cumulative date, to date, we're up to 4.3 billion gallons. That's down from last year when we pumped 4.6 by this time. So we're about 6.5% down as of last year in terms of pumping. So we haven't had that happen for a long time. So it's going to be interesting. And it's mainly been precipitation. In June, we had 8.8 inches and average. We had about 4.5 in June. And year to date, we're at 24.5, and normally we get 16.5. So we're 8 inches over our average as of June. So very, very wet. I think February was dry, and every other week has been wet. Pumpage is down. That's attachment A, attachment B, which is the cumulative capacity utilization to date. We had 4 wells that were over our goal of 50% utilization, and we continue to work on making small adjustments to try to get those numbers down. Some are because of nearby wells being down, and those have been coming online now. So hopefully we can work on those 4 wells these next couple months. In terms of regions, there's 4 regions, A, B, C, D. We low 30.5% capacity in region A, and we had a high of 43.8% capacity in region A. B was a low and A was our high. And for some reason, we've been pumping much more water in region A lately. In terms of water levels in all the wells, we're looking good and sustainable. Last but not least, I attached an attachment C this time. I do this every July and every February, which is January, I guess. And this is the aquifer levels below the state capital, which we kind of take to represent our aquifer levels of Madison here. It's on the big screen, but you can see on the little screen, it's the shallower levels are from when during the winter, and the deeper ones are during the summer when we pump. So see, it's very cyclic, up and down, up and down. And lately, we've been going back up. So we've gone down kind of in the years 21 and 23. We're below average precipitation. 21, we only had 23 inches for the whole year, and that's why that was kind of our low point. These levels appear to be solely related to basically precipitation amounts on an annual basis, and then on a semi-annual basis, whether it's summer or winter, it's because we pump. The pumping influences are quite a bit too. That's what I'm trying to say. So. So quick, any questions on any of those?
Okay. I'm waiting for a text. I'm sorry for the technical call I've got to take. So I'm just waiting.
Oh, that's
all right.
Okay. Well, thank you, John.
Thank you.
January 11th.
Just let me know if I need to stop, but I'll try to be fast too. Okay. So as of June, our total revenue right now is about $25.1 million. Our total expenditure is at $21 million, leaving us with a net operating fund of $4.1 million. So adding that to our fund balance from last year and with a transfer out to capital fund, our operating fund in the fund balance is at $16 million. Then going on to our construction fund, we are looking at total capital revenues of $16.9 million. Our total capital expenditures and encumbrances is around $20.5 million. So that is a negative net construction fund of 3.662. We do have ending fund balance from 23 that is carried over. So our actual ending fund balance as of June for construction funds is about $852,000. This is because we have not gotten our bond proceeds yet for the Well 19 that we're expecting to be borrowing. We also haven't gotten our safe drinking water loan proceeds for Well 15. And so once those come in, our projected ending fund balance for construction is, we're estimating it's about $4.54 million for the year. Whereas with operating fund, our also projected ending fund balance is actually about $8.2 million. So this is, again, subject to change, but these are projected in the amounts for operating and for construction. And with that, I can go into our cash reserves. On the second page, we are looking at a total cash investment of about $50 million, of which $16.7 million is unrestricted cash balance. That also includes like reserving $800,000 for our three coat, but otherwise $16.7 million is unrestricted cash. And we have about $2.38 amount of expenditures covered by operating. Last but not least, again, we also update our MATCAP data summary on the memo page. So if you're wondering where we're at with MATCAP data summary, but access on.
I'll try and go fairly quick too, but I guess we'll go over, you know, where we're at through June with our actual expenditures, update on the expense depreciation target, and then capital project updates, our two unit well projects, and then a quick update on our CIPP for 2024. As well, we added in there. So, no surprise that through June, our actual expenditures are skewing heavily toward pipeline work. It's that time of year. We've got some major work going on downtown and on really all sides of the city. So, you can see the ratio there. Expense depreciation, we're about $1 million left for our $5 million target through the end of the year. I listed a couple of upcoming projects below that we get to encumber. Starker Avenue alone is pretty close to $1 million, so we're pretty confident we'll be hitting that target very soon once those contracts go out later this year. Well 19 update, under construction, we're coordinating with MGE and the contractor right now for a new gas line as well as temporary displacement of our backup generator out there, which will allow them for, I think, more effective excavation for the backwash tank itself. That is going to happen next week with the generator work, so they'll be getting, beginning moving ahead very quickly with the building addition work after that. So no project schedule updates at this point, still on the end of June for overall completion, working on submittals, a couple of small change orders or the construction bulletins in between. But we'll definitely have, I think, some more considerable updates for the August board meeting for you all. Well 15, also under construction. The roof has been opened. Air strippers have been lifted out and set for storage at Unit Well 31. They were, they took a 6 or 7 mile trip mostly south on 51 last Thursday morning. So those are being currently stored for respective reuse or potential sale even. But the interior is quite open right now for the incoming new tanks. The removals are continuing underway. Structural work under the kind of the main floor is underway, and we're working with the contractor and our engineering consultants on a few questions that have come up as they begin that work too. But everything is moving along on schedule there as well. For our pipeline cast in place pipe project, it's about a mile of pipe on the east side. I put a couple of pictures in there. The one on the left is some of the camera work that they do for the pipe to assess it from the inside, log where service locations are, and report just on its overall condition, post-cleaning, post-lining, and then also for reinstatement of services. The picture on the right is the liner actually going in before it's cured and bonded to the old pipe. So that's underway right now. We're coordinating with city engineering to chip seal the project when it's complete, so all of our patches and kind of the work in the roadway will kind of have a more cohesive finish with the rest of the street. So it's nice we're able to line up that work. And then for the first time in our since 2011 doing pipelining work, technology now allows for lining a 4-inch water main, which we probably won't do often, but in this case there was a stretch of 4-inch main that was worth our while to maintain and rehab. So we'll be beginning that work shortly, but there are only a couple services off of that one, so the work going forward will be pretty minimal, and it's out of any streets. So that's what's coming up there. All of that work is expected to be completed before the end of August also. Happy to take any questions or comments on the board.
Just a comment on the blue film on the recovery of the airstrip. Sure, that was an easy task. Hopefully we'll be able to reuse it or sell it for some remedy.
Yeah, we'll see. It was an impressive operation. I can include some pictures to the next board report if you'd like. It was kind of lined up right along with the submittal of this report this month. Again, it happened just last Thursday morning. They're able to pull that off. But yeah, they fit nicely on the road. They have a truck bed for each unit and just wide enough to stay in the lane. Did a nice job. Nice heavy crane. I mean, those, I have to double check what the weight of those are, but we were glad that the contractor furnished the crane.
Did the heavy rains disrupt construction at all?
So there was at least one fairly heavy rain event while the roof was open. But not really. The interior is mostly finished. It went through the floor drains. I mean, it's not a huge opening, so we're not talking about flood or anything there. But then, the next morning, it wasn't especially apparent that really much rain had been in there. So, but the contractor is hoping to get the roof on soon now that, again, the air strippers are out. And they're making preparations to get a temporary seal on there while they complete the rest of their work through until the new tanks come.
Other comments, questions? Thank you, Pete. And monthly operation.
Yes, I'll just point out a few things here quickly. We obviously are doing our seasonal flushing. We completed 300 flushing lines in the system. We have added a couple of hydrant painters, so we're up to over 400 hydrants painted in June. Obviously, with our unidirectional flushing, we operate valves to enable us to do that type of flushing. So we're up to 6,200 valves operated in the system so far this year. The other thing I was just going to mention was that he touched on the casting in place pipelining. Our crews actually work right alongside with the contractor, and we actually dig the holes. They set up the temporary piping to the homes to provide them temporary water. And we work alongside them to dig all the pits, and then they go through it and pull the lining through. And then we go back and cut out T's and hydrant leads, and put in new hydrants and valves, and close up those pits. Then we'll go back and hot patch them, and then, as Pete mentioned, it's all chip sealed, so they don't ever mess it. Next month I'll have the footage of how much was completed, but I believe it's over 5,000 feet.
Is
almost a mile away.
Go ahead. Is that why it's zeros? Because you don't have the.
Yeah, we don't. It's not complete yet. We're actually out there working on it right now, cutting in those hydrants and valves and teams and so forth, making all the connections. Then once we get clean samples and everything is flushed through, we'll probably get service.
Important work that I think the general public doesn't always recognize. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Dan. Marcus, quick information report.
Yeah, okay. Quick report. And Dan and Pete, just a question. So, I mean, we've been doing this CIPP stuff for like 13 years, I think. It's our 13th year.
It's 2011,
so, yeah. And this, that 4-inch will be by far the smallest, or I guess the shortest diameter that we've done.
Yeah, I mean, just as of maybe a year at most ago, one of the contractors now has a technology 4-inch before it would be really viable.
So I just wanted to put a little cherry on top of all that. I mean, this is, we've been doing it for over a decade, and they just came out with the technology to even do a 4-inch, and we're already starting to try it. And I know it's kind of going to be a trial and error type of thing, but yeah, that's a really cool part of this project. Even though we've done it 13 years in a row, this is a unique kind of situation here. And you think about 4 inches and sending that robot in there and all that kind of stuff, it's just like mind blowing. So yeah, we definitely try to, you know, engage the public around this and let them know how incredible some of this is. And we were obviously the first in Wisconsin to use this technology too. So it's pretty cool from my standpoint. I'm not an engineer, I don't work in operations, but just as a layman's type of person, I think it's really, really cool. Other than that, I'll go ahead.
It's died.
Yeah, just have it in there. Yeah, so.
Renovation's worth knowing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the last day in here pretty much for the year. But yeah, so thanks, Pete, for, you know, kind of a great segue and Dan into kind of the highlight that I have for you all today. As you all know, Well 15 has been offline for 5 years, a couple months more, but about 5 years. So really the picture, really what I was trying to highlight is that, you know, this is really, really promising. As Pete mentioned, he didn't have the image, but you guys have it. It's we'll be calling it the patio, the tanning, you know, kind of patio. And it's really promising for the community and everyone to see that we are actually progressing this project. We are, you know, making headway and we're really, like I said, making progress. So I think that's just incredible. And that's really what I wanted to highlight here. What I really think is cool about this is that it really is a culmination of all the different sections and reports. I like to think of this as like kind of everything that they talked about. You can kind of bring it all into a qualitative kind of graphical, you know, more image dependent report. So I think it's really cool. You think about obviously finance, engineering, operations, supply, quality, and then customer service, of course, outreach and public relations all goes into this Well 15 project. So really that's what I was trying to highlight there is that it really did take the entire utility and not just engineering was working on, it's not just operations, you know, it's about supply, about quality. So I just thought that this is something that should be highlighted, you know, before we go out today, because like I said, since 2019 or so, we've been kind of waiting on this and I know the community's been waiting on this. We've presented to the community. I know Joe's done at least a handful of presentations. I've done some myself and now it's really real. So that's really what I wanted to highlight in there. And then as you can see, and as we talked about removing the air strippers and kind of relocating some things, knocking down walls to make room for these four large tanks, you know, two of each of the different tanks we will be using. So the GAC and then the IX and two tanks each. So I think kind of seeing that space be open like that is kind of jarring. But really, it's really promising. It's really cool to see that and start to see how, you know, we start to progress over the next year. So,
questions, comments? Thank you for this.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion to approve the reports that were just presented?
Some of
them. Have a second.
One second.
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
I don't think the evaluation is in your packet this time. Is it in your packet?
Yes.
Oh, goody gumdrops. Surprise. Yay, Susan.
So I'll do it in a moment.
Okay.
When we go virtual,
yes.
Jody, you'll sit on a notice. And I'm trying to think back the COVID days. Is it on WebEx or Zoom?
It will be on Zoom, and before this happens, there is a protocol that the mayor's office has put together that I'd like to send out since you've now approved that we're going to do this so that we can kind of review that as a board. I'll send that to you in advance. It's protocol like how to raise your hand, how to do all of those things, and I'll be sure you get all of that like ASAP before, you know, so you can review it, because obviously we're all going to be a little rusty, I think, that first time. So I'll give you everything that you need in advance to sort of navigate that. Now, did we approve the previous month's minutes?
Yes.
Okay, I missed that. Can you tell me who?
I think I moved it.
Yeah, okay.
I
seconded. Okay, thank you.
And then I did just want to mention, as far as notice about us kind of shifting to the virtual meetings, Jody has agreed to put some stuff on social media, so our 13,000, 14,000 followers or whatever will know that this will be virtual throughout for the remaining of the year. We do have a water utility board page on our website, our water utility website, so I'll put a message there. We have a highlight that will go on our homepage, letting people know, and then also we will send out an email to the email list as well. So. Really giving them notice. And what I heard from my PIO group is this approval of this transition actually counts as notice technically, as it'll be going into the public registrar and things like that. But we'll also do our part to make sure that the community is aware that this will be virtual.
Great. Yeah.
Well, we haven't had any guests for a long time, so we might get more.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of committee boards and cities that are still all quite surprised.
Okay, and the meeting evaluation, members actively participate in discussion, opportunities to voice opinion. We fully meant that. We prepared to discuss the materials. We fully meant that. Engage in active listening, avoid interrupting speakers. Fully meant honest opinion and respect viewpoints expressed by others. Fully meant. Honor board procedures as outlined. Policy law carbon. Members represent the collective interest of current and future members. We met that. And we based our decision on equity principles, looking at who's impacted, who benefits, and so forth. And particularly, I want to thank all the board members that were present, Charles, especially you, for making sure that we have a forum. I think that the virtual meetings coming up will probably be in much better position there. I think there. I look forward to return of in-person meetings in January, though, because I think that there's value in that as well. So with that, if we, I think we are ready for a motion to adjourn. Okay. And a second, okay, and without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you for the consideration of us so quickly here. Nice copies.
I put the reaction.